Welcome back to another episode of Game Grooves Uncovered podcast. I'm your host, Rob Poniganti. Today we're doing something different. If you saw the title, which I guess you did because you clicked this, we're doing something special. It's kind of a new series or sub-series, whatever, that's heavily inspired by Hot Pepper Gaming and First We Feast's Hot Ones, of course. It's called Spicy Gamers, and it's a very fun idea that's basically to do the interview while eating really spicy food and kind of up the ante, I guess. Keeps things exciting. You get to try some interesting food and, you know, some people get to watch you sweat a little bit, which is always fun. And we're always very careful here. So Spicy Gamers is kind of kicking off with an interview with Allison Martin, or Allison Martin Trombone. She worked really hard on a brand new album that I produced, of course, called Heartseeker. It's a musical tribute to the music of Kingdom Hearts in like jazz big band style. And it's completely arranged by her and largely played by her. So it's a very interesting album to begin with. The interview you are about to listen to was actually made as a video. You'll be able to see this video on the Game Grooves YouTube channel, or I'll be sharing it on my socials as well, or any of the Game Grooves socials. And basically, we interviewed about the album, but also while eating hot wings. And each round features one of Hot One's Season 22 hot sauces. They go up and up in their Scoville units. Because this is kind of a unique presentation, you're going to be listening to a video that's been edited to be more suitable for a podcast, but I hope you enjoy. I'm going to fill in as much information in post here, and we'll just dive back in like you didn't even notice I was there, except for the 2-minute intro. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very fun new segment of my Game Grooves Uncovered podcast, kind of spinoff of just in general different video game music interviews into what I'm going to be calling Spicy Gamers. Now, Spicy Gamers is essentially inspired by Hot Ones and Hot Pepper Gaming, but with the specialty of video game music and, of course, the video game music scene, remixes, covers, arrangers. And I thought, what better way to kick off such a fun idea that seemed pretty popular than interviewing my wife, Allison Martin, about her new album, Heartseeker. Allison, you're of course a classically trained trombonist to start, but you play tons of other instruments, some of which I did not even know you could play. And obviously you've been making music for a little while now on YouTube and kind of dipping your feet into albums, but this one is really different. So I'm excited to talk about all of that. We also have some fun questions from our audience that we pulled. Folks who wanted to know about like what you're excited to do, some of your live experiences, and obviously everyone wants to know how good you can handle hot food, including me. So the format of the show is going to be very derivative, very much starting it off with the actual Hot Ones Season 22 lineup of hot sauces, because we're trying this out as a pilot. I didn't get enough wings, and we didn't know when we were going to be able to do this. So we're gonna start with four simple crackers and the first four hot sauces in the lineup, which I'll throw into the video. And then we're gonna actually go and eat some delicious baked wings that have been thrown around in some of these nefarious sauces. So, Allie, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here. I'm happy to show you I actually can eat spicy things.
That's good. Now, I wanted to ask you, especially for the show, you have had spicy food before, and you've had Hot Ones sauces before.
I have, yeah. You've doubted me, but it's very true. I will say, though, that the sauces that I had before, they were a friend of mine's sauces, and according to him, they were in the fridge for a long time after being opened, so he said that the potency of said sauces had gone down some. However, either way, I don't think it was that bad, so I'm excited to give these a shot.
And, of course, we need to talk about Heartseeker. Now, Heartseeker is an upcoming crowdfunded big band jazz Kingdom Hearts album that you're working on, which is really cool. So, obviously, I'm producing it, so I have just that last second exposure to it, but we have a lot of great questions that we're going to get started with.
All right. Now, are we turning the crackers over to where it touches the tongue?
Yeah.
That's the technique. Mm. All right. This will be easy, right?
That's like I went to the bowling alley and they had like wings.
And like their wings were like surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very tasty, very buttery. So you came out with See the World, which was trombone quartets, and every single track, as it implies, is just four tracks. You jumped to big band jazz. What's the difference in challenge and also artistically? Is that more fulfilling or is it just a different vibe?
So there are definitely a lot of similarities that I didn't expect in writing big band versus trombone quartet or any chamber group. The big challenge for me, really, it's just I don't have experience at all. So I started arranging literally when I started my YouTube channel 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago. I hadn't done anything in terms of arranging. I wasn't really interested in composing or anything like that. I just wanted to play for people. I just wanted to play trombone. So that in and of itself was a really big thing for me. I wasn't aware that I could even do that. So then, you know, with trombone quartet, that was pretty easy. It is my bread and butter because it's, you know, stuff that I've played for a long time. I'm very familiar with the instrument. But more importantly, when I'm playing just trombone stuff, I'm writing for myself. I know what I can do, not what trombone can do, but what I personally can do. So then when I'm writing for big band, it can be a little harder because when it comes to other instruments, I don't always know what the instrument can do. I have no idea what my abilities are on those things. So I'd say that's probably the biggest difference. It's sort of just not having that familiarity with the other instruments.
So one of the things I wanted to know, because Kingdom Hearts is obviously very popular. You have Simple and Clean, Sanctuary, a lot of like popular songs in our niche, but also on TV, like gamers know these. But you chose the majority of songs to be sort of lesser knowns, deep cuts as they call them. What makes a song a deep cut? And what was that like artistically? Like, was that more fulfilling because no one's done it or?
All right, yeah, deep cuts. So I guess the way I think about it is, what makes a deep cut, I think, it's like, okay, if you go to YouTube and just type best Kingdom Hearts songs, and if that track never comes up, then it's a deep cut, right? And I really enjoy deep cuts for a couple of reasons, and especially for Kingdom Hearts, because, I mean, for me, Kingdom Hearts is one of the best soundtracks of all time. Overall, that's the thing. It's not just Simple and Clean that's the best soundtrack. You have games where it's like, oh, that one theme was really good that people remember, but I think that so much of the music in the series, even the small tracks, I think they're all really good. So I think it's been fun to pick those. For me, the reason why, though, I like doing them as a creator especially is because, first of all, when everyone else has already done something, it's reliable because you know people listen to it. Oh, they love that, sure. But for me, I'm a pretty self-conscious creator at this point, especially when it comes to my arranging and my musicality and everything. I am new. I never arranged before, like I said. So for me, when I hear these 500 other people that did this track, I kind of get in my own head about it. Whereas if you pick a deep cut, you're like, oh, well, I just have the original and I'll just do whatever I want. And then sure. You're just kind of having a good time. I'm not doing it for the sake of trying to get a playlist or trying to get people to listen to it just because it's a popular one. I do it because I like that song most of all.
Do you think when a composer makes those songs, they inherently know this one is going to be a deep cut or not? Or does it just kind of depend on the context, especially in the game?
I feel like it would depend for sure. I definitely think it depends. I think that, you know, sometimes it's like writing a thing, and if you think the track is going to be for a dull moment in the game, you might think, oh, but look at what happened with the Wii Shop music, right?
Yeah.
The composers wrote the Wii Shop music, and they said, oh, it's just some little ditty, do elevator music, people not even pay attention to, and then it became this huge cult meme that everyone loves now. So I think that for composers, they can guess, and like even about Heartseeker, I've got tracks I think will be kind of the runaway stars, but I could be completely wrong because at the end of the day, right, like the experience the listener has, it's not necessarily going to be the same one that I have as the person who made it.
Makes sense. That one's got maybe a little bit slower, slower kick, but very fruity. So obviously when people think about big band and they've listened to big bands, they see this huge, you know, during a live show, they'll see trombones, they'll see trumpets, they'll see saxophones, drums, guitars, bass, and all. One thing people may not have noticed unless they're watching you on Instagram and TikTok is that you also play saxophone on this one. What was it like balancing out your main instrument, trombone, with a new instrument that plays such an important role in the sonic like character of big band jazz?
It was terrible. It was awful. It was horrible.
was it?
Yes. So you may not know that saxophone was actually my very first band instrument. My very first instrument was the violin. Played for about a year and a half when I was like 8, 10, something like that. And then when I joined band, I played the saxophone for about 6 months because that's what we had at home and that was that. So I was familiar enough with saxophone, but you know, it'd been such a long time that coming back to it, even now I'm still kind of shaky on it. The problem with big band and me and saxophone is that so much of it is based around the saxophone. Saxophone is jazz in my mind for the most part. And a big thing is, I was just thinking about this the other day. If you're a woodwind player and you want to do jazz or big band stuff, you have a huge advantage in my opinion, because so much of the music is woodwinds going, whereas the brass comes in with a bop bop and do stabs or things like that. Whereas if you're a brass player trying to do things with woodwinds in a big band, it can be very limiting because my skill is just not high enough to keep up with the finger stuff. So what ended up happening was, as I arranged the thing, I had to sort of be locked in this constraint of, okay, what can Allie actually do on the instrument? What can she punch in to be kind of convincing? So I sort of had to write around that part of it. But I do think that because I write in a kind of like contrapuntal nature where instruments are interacting all the time and they're sort of like interlocking parts, it's kind of rhythmically satisfying. I think I found a way around that where when I go back now and listen back, I think it's pretty good. And recording was just recording. I mean,
so with saxophone players who are attempting brass, would you be able to detect like the complementary kind of issues? You know, you mentioned like you can't do the fingers things, but saxophone players, they could do fingers, but if they picked up a trombone,
yeah, there's one actually really big one that I discovered pretty recently, actually. It's a very small tell, though. It's not a very big deal. But one thing for brass, our articulation is very different than, at least in my experience, than saxophone woodwinds. I feel like, for me, I articulate very hard on brass, and it gives a very clear-cut sound right from the very beginning of the note, whereas on woodwinds, you have to be a little bit gentler. So I have heard it go around the other way, where I've heard people play brass where maybe it's not their main instrument, and usually right. The starts of the notes don't always have the clarity they could. They still sound good, of course, and it depends on the style also. But that's the main one I found, I think.
Kingdom Hearts has been covered since even before I got into YouTube back in 2010, and there were a lot of big projects that came out. Were there any in particular that you liked or listened to as inspiration that, you know, you were curious about or helped you motivate to work on Heartseeker?
Actually, no. So, again, kind of going back to a little while ago, what happens when I'm trying to arrange stuff, and especially because I am pretty green, I do take inspiration subconsciously, but when I'm gonna go do a project of my own, I actually try to avoid listening to other versions of the tracks because I don't want to take any ideas. I just want to try my own hand and have the pure experience of just seeing what I can do. And then after the project is done, then I can go back and listen to it. But of course, Project Destati is a classic. It's the first one I think of.
It's the first one I heard of.
Right?
But at some point, I imagine someone's going to look at Heartseeker and, you know, either they'll put it away and be like, okay, I can't copy this one. I have to like, you know, I can't do this. Are there any like kind of aspects that you know Heartseeker will do differently with the arrangement? Like how you took a particular song, especially with things like Don't Think Twice that did make its rounds in like remix communities?
Yeah, so in terms of like what my tracks are doing that are very different from the originals, you mean? Mm-hmm. Sure. Basically, that was kind of what I wanted to do with all the tracks, just because, again, I don't know. I always like trying really new things. They're not always going to be amazing things. They might not all work, but I like trying new stuff just because I find it funny. So for example, you know, Frozen Wonderland, I thought, well, what if Frozen Wonderland was this like kind of Latin inspired, sort of like summery, fun big band vibe? So I just did that instead. And
like polarizing arrangements to the expectation.
Yeah, for sure.
The Ryan Johnson arrangement. approach.
Yeah, or like there's one very specifically I'm thinking of. There's a certain battle theme on the album that I thought, you know what, we're going to take this tempo and we're going to crank it way down, and now it's going to be a detective black and white noir rainy night sad ballad because why not?
Okay, this is the last one. This is the last one of the first half.
Yep.
And the first chicken wing. So hopefully these get only hotter, because I feel like this hasn't been too spicy yet.
I'm good.
All right. What has been the hardest track to arrange and why?
Ooh, I'm taking a bite and thinking about it.
Take a bite, especially because these are getting cooler by the second.
In we go. Ooh, there we go. Now we're feeling stuff. Hardest track to arrange. Man, that's a good question. I basically arranged every single track in like this 2-3 week gauntlet where like 9 to 5, I was doing nothing but arranging the entire day. And I'm trying to remember, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I did some big band tracks. I feel like they were pretty okay. I feel like I did a track Little Chef, and I think Little Chef was a pretty tough one. Little Chef was tough. I knew kind of the vibe I wanted at the beginning, and the melody and everything, I sort of played it straight for a while. But then once I got midway through the track, then I was sort of thinking, okay, I don't really know how I want to fill this time exactly. I think that one did stump me for a little while. So I guess I'll say Little Chef, just because that's the one that comes to mind first. Number 6, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's so whiskey. Oh my goodness, hang on, I gotta keep up. Okay.
Yeah, this one, it's got like a sweet whiskey smell, and then it starts to remind you, hey, I'm also a hot sauce. Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Whoa. Now we are spicy gamer.
Oh yeah, now there's something to come in. Oh my gosh, that's so sweet, the whiskey.
Yeah,
oh, my tongue burns.
Yeah, it tricks you to thinking like, fine.
Oh no,
like this one though. Panels, and you've done a lot of educational things from your YouTube videos explaining different trombone techniques,
mm-hmm.
and you've also expressed like interest in doing a panel of sort.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do a panel on at a video game convention or some sort of music convention if you could?
I'm very passionate about the trombone specifically. I you know, as someone especially who wants to record trombone for people and watch trombone to be more featured in things, it's always a bit of a fun sort of, you know, joking frustration, I suppose, when other instruments get all this solo stuff. Trombones.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. But I mean, you know, trombones, we're just known for either like powerful, like blah, or like really goofy things, and that's it. And the trombone can do so much more than that. We're in every kind of band. If you look at polka bands and jazz bands and orchestras and military bands and, you know, all sorts of things. Yeah, ska, right? Like, trombones are everywhere, and that's because we're flexible.
Would the audience for that be just brass players, or could it also be, like, composers, you'd hope?
It should be everybody. I think it should be brass players. I think it should be composers. I think it should be anyone with even a remote interest in hearing brass anywhere. I think it would be fun for everybody, ideally. It's okay. Oh my god! No! That's way too much!
I don't think I can. So, you've now gotten to perform MAGFest main stage, the Jam Space, live with Raspberry Pi. You've already played many different kinds of classical shows and a lot of different band types of shows, but there aren't that many people in the video game music scene who are doing like just solo trombone shows. What was that like for VGM Together, where you got to put on your first show with your backing tracks? And what makes a live show fun for you, especially as a trombone player forward?
Gosh, yeah, that was really, really fun, actually. And, you know, it's funny, at the time, I hadn't really thought about, you know, the so-called, I guess, impact of doing a solo trombone show, but it's something I've joked about, actually, a lot online. I said, you know, I would love to stream on Twitch, but it's so hard when you don't play the violin or piano, because, you know, a lot of successful streamers are the ones who can actually talk to their audience while they play. Whereas with brass, you know, we just kind of look angry and duped the whole time, which can make things pretty tough. You know, discovering that, first of all, I like doing live performances solo, that was cool. And secondly, just, you know, being able to find those moments to interact with the audience, I think that was a really cool thing to do, and it sort of shows that you can, you know, do live performances as a brass player and still engage the audience.
So having done live and virtual, is, and, you know, having communication as a key part of that experience, what advice can you give to people who are maybe needing to do the virtual shows first to get the live gigs, you know, audition and stuff? Because a lot, I know a lot of people have struggled to enjoy the virtual shows at all.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I guess for me, having, well, the tech side, that's a big thing, right? Getting that all set. But I think the biggest thing for me is having that interactivity during the songs. And actually, you're somebody that I learned that from, because...
You mean virtual or otherwise?
Virtual or otherwise, but I think especially virtual is kind of when you need it the most, really. Because when you're in a live venue, you sort of have the, you have the energy, you have the atmosphere. And the people that are already there, they can look at each other and sort of make their own hype and energy. But when you're online, it can be a little harder. So sure. Just having, like, having, you know, like, what's it called? Like a call to response. Like when you give them actions to do, show me emotes or type this in the chat or, hey, what do you think about this? As you're kind of going through songs, I do think that can be pretty helpful.
I taste it. Oh, it's coming up. Oh, it tastes like a 1995 like slime experiment for young adolescents. Toy advertisement into a sauce. Well, speaking of the Alison Martin big band experience, what other games besides Kingdom Hearts do you picture this format being fun to work with for you? And especially if you could do live, you know, like, and had a set list, what games would work? Well, that's like a, like someone's tasing my tongue right now. But it's not as hot as I thought it could be.
It's coming up, yeah. Ooh.
But it's like.
Can you see my arm? There's chills all over. Can you see my hair sticking
up? Yeah, I do. We don't have the money or the budget to get a better camera to do that. It burns my mouth, but nothing else in my body is upset at that. Oh, I might cry.
It's coming. Oh my God. So another franchise with music very near and dear to my heart actually is the Monster Hunter series. I think Monster Hunter has just such an amazing, wonderful, characteristic music that definitely gets overlooked because the series itself is not that widely popular in the West. I still think it's not quite there. It's much more popular in Japan. The problem with Monster Hunter, though, is that Capcom is very, like, forward with their music and distributing, so they actually have a lot of jazz albums already. They have Ace Attorney, and they have Monster Hunter, and they have, you know, Devil May Cry, what have you. They have jazz band arrangements now.
Right, right. Even Mute City, or the original F-Zero, when that came out in the 90s, they went and made a jazz fusion album.
Right, yeah. Japan loves their jazz fusion albums of everything, so... but it'd be fun to do. I like it a lot.
Considering the spins that you took with Heartseeker, especially on, like, Wake Up World and on Frozen Wonderland, you think, like, Monster Hunter could be remixed in such a way that still has your touch on the big band formula, which may not be theirs?
For sure. So I definitely think, especially with Wake Up World and Vector to the Heavens, I don't know, maybe I had too much of this Da Bomb sauce and I was just under the influence of it, because when I sat down to do those were some of the last I arranged, and I was just kind of going notes, and what came out the other side was something I had no idea I was going to make. And I think if I went more in that direction and made an album of that nature, I definitely think that would stand out against what they've already done. This is so silly. I feel like at this point it's not even so much like what game would work, it's just what game am I really, really, really into at the time? What game do
I love?
Calling
you.
Yeah, because I mean, if we listen to some of like the tracks that I have made for this album that are so starkly different than the original. Right? I just did whatever I was gonna do, and so I think for me it's just, do I want to do it more than like, will it work?
It's just a very stanky kind of pepper taste.
Chemicals.
Weirdly, the bomb might have been tastier, but it was like, it still tastes like kind of pure heat, but it wasn't like gross at all. I think it was like almost tasty. You've been working on this album for pretty much the whole year, and this is the first time you worked on a band type of situation, the first time for a lot of things. So what are some of the things that you've learned from Heartseeker, and what do you think is going to be easier now that you've done a 14-track big band album?
Biggest thing I've learned from Heartseeker so far, absolutely, would be just production in general. And of course, you have done a lot of the production for the album. So it's mostly like not just, you know, the mixing side, but also just sort of discovering the sound that I want and the sound that I can achieve in this format. Because, oh, it's such a slow burn. Oh my gosh.
I'm almost upset because I'm handling this really well.
It got like under my tongue. Anyway, yeah, so I think, yeah, knowing the sound that I can achieve with this kind of ensemble is a really good thing for me. When I'm doing just trombone stuff, I already know what trombones sound like. I know what they should sound like and everything, but with this bigger band type thing, especially with your rhythm section and things like that, I'm putting in these elements that I'm not used to working with. So production is definitely a big side. Honestly, I do think that arrangement-wise also, it's not so much like a specific thing that I learned, like, oh, my arrangement's instantly better, and heck, it might still need a ton of work, I don't know, I didn't ask anybody, but, you know, my arranging, though, has gotten a lot faster, and I've gotten a lot more creative, I think, with things, and I kind of just, I took the Marauder method from Random Access Memories by Daft Punk. Giorgio Moroder is one of their tracks, and it's basically the man who founded EDM as a genre, I believe. And in his interview in the track, he said, you know, I wasn't told what to do. I had no preconception of what to do. So I just did whatever I want, and I could just do whatever I want.
And you knew making that album is something you wanted.
Yeah, well, I've been wanting to make an album like this for a long time, and I'd wanted to make something bigger, and also honestly wanted to make something that is slightly more accessible to listeners. I know Trombone Quartet is not everybody's jam. I know it's not, and I wanted to make something that, yeah, was a little bit more ambitious, something that people might be more likely to be like, hey, this is neat. I like 8-bit big bands. I like Carlos. I'll listen to that. That was definitely a part of it. I can't lie.
What's something that you think, now you make another album, no regrets, but what's something that you have to do differently or better for the next album?
Learn saxophone. Learn it better. Actually be able to play the freaking thing. That's the number one thing. I need to actually play these instruments well where I can actually do more things, and I don't have to, you know, to neuter my ideas because I just can't do them, or get friends who I can, you know, have play for me, like get a budget to where I can, you know, actually achieve more ideas.
In Hot Ones tradition, the last dab is dab.
What are you doing? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean?
I kind of went very careful with my initial toss, so I think it's only appropriate.
Who needs a normal heart rate? It's over heart rated. We dabbing.
We've come to the final round, which is the new the last dab experience with Pepper X, now rated the hottest pepper in the world, according to its inventors. So I'm very excited for this one, but I don't want you to eat the wing yet. I'm gonna actually give you a little bit of a reprieve. So I'm gonna ask you a question, and once I'm happy with my answer, I'm gonna go ahead and say we take a bite. We've dabbed on in tradition for Hot Ones. And then I'm going to have a bonus lightning round question where I'm gonna make you do something in 30 seconds while you handle all this as best you can.
Oh no.
And we'll run a timer on the graphics as well. If you had $1 million just fall out of the sky, untaxed, it's all safe, but you have to use it for your next video game album, what are the three things or elements you buy or fund?
As many guest artists as possible. Right. Just as much talent as I can hire. I would absolutely just go all out, full studio, like just the actual recording studio experience. Mm-hmm. And I would, what's the third thing? Honestly, I would just buy myself a bunch more instruments and then find a way to use them. I would justify it.
Ready?
Okay.
Last step. Name as many non-Disney Kingdom Hearts characters as you can. 30 seconds, go.
Korra, Aku, Kairi, Aqua, Ventus, Terra, Axel, Roxas.
Whoa, my mother, no, Mary.
The one we never remember, Siam. Organization 13, Zimnus, Luxord, Dyax, Luxeem, guy with the book, Vixen, Zaldin, Oh, no.
Two.
No. One. And then the other one.
That's it.
That's luck again.
That's time. That was quite a lot.
This goes Kingdom Hearts is all characters that are originals now. Oh, it burns. Oh, it burns. Oh, my lord. It all hit, like, one side. Guy, like, comes back in waves.
Oh, my God, yeah.
My throat. Ow.
Oh, I can barely talk. All right, where can people get Heartseeker?
You can...
Or follow you.
You can get it on Bandcamp. It'll be physical CDs. You can get it on any streaming services. You can follow me on YouTube, Allison Martin Trombone. You can follow me on Twitter, A. Martin T-Bone. Instagram, Allison Martin Trombone. TikTok, Allison Martin Trombone. Blue Sky, A. Martin T-Bone. And anywhere else, Allison Martin Trombone. Look it up. Oh, it burns. Oh, it hurts so much.
Thank you so much, Allie, for agreeing to do this.
Of course.
I'm crying, but I'm so happy we got
to
survive the last dab. This is the inaugural Spicy Gamers. Woo. Check us out wherever I post this. Check out Game Grooves Uncovered for more podcasts with amazing musicians, composers of video games, and video game remix artists. I'm Ro Panigante. You can follow me and my music at Ro Panigante everywhere. Thank you so much for watching. Always be safe when eating spicy food. And I'll see you next time.